Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country. And there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us for hour two of the show. Got a exciting second hour coming up here. We've got our evil female counterparts, Tim. Maybe we're the evil male counterparts. I'm not quite sure how this works. We have the ghost chicks meet the ghost twits tonight on Darkness on the Edge of Town. We've got Laurie Jones and Tara Dieters, best known as the ghost chicks, are joining us. Are the ladies on the line with us, Tim?
They are.
Good evening, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on and spending some time with us this evening. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, let's do a little bit of an introduction here. Laurie, you're one half of the Ghost Chicks, according to your website, but you're the co-hostess of the Peace, Love, and Lip Gloss Hour on Blog Talk Radio with Susie Boo. It's Susan Rushing, right?
That's right, Susan Rushing.
And that can be heard 6:30 p.m. Eastern every Wednesday night.
That's correct.
And but you're the other half of the Ghost Chicks, along with Tara. And you guys, now you're certified paranormal investigators. You've been trained by Lloyd Auerbach through the HCH Institute in Lafayette, California. Mm-hmm. You're also a member of the Office of Paranormal Investigations. How long have you two known each other?
About 5 years. Mm-hmm. Right, Tara?
Right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it the paranormal that brought you two together, or were you coworkers and then just found out about it, or were you working on each other's case? How did that all come together?
No. Tara actually was my son's teacher.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was. I have a hearing impaired child.
Okay.
And she was teaching at a private school where my son attended.
All right.
That's how we met.
And now, how do you, and this was 5 years ago, so the paranormal was out there, but it wasn't as popular as it is right now. How do you end up talking to your son's teacher about the paranormal and realizing, hey, we have something in common about ghosts?
Another teacher that I used to work with, she used to go to the Myrtles all the time, and she would bring back all these photographs and tell us all these really neat stories, and I decided I wanted to go to the Myrtles. So Lori and I and a couple of other ladies got together, and we went to the Myrtles. We were just going for a girly weekend, and needless to say, it sparked Lori and I's interest, and we've been going ever since. And, you know, we became best friends and paranormal certified investigators out of it.
Very cool. Now, Tim's signaling me. We're having some phone difficulties with you ladies. Do we want to take a quick snap here, Tim, and bring him back on the line, see if we can get a clearer line? Yeah, we're going to do that. So, ladies, stick with us. We're going to run a commercial break real quick. We'll come back. We'll get you guys on hopefully a cleaner line, and we'll continue the interview here because we want people to hear your story and not Orville Redenbacher popping popcorn at us. So bear with us. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. We're going to be right back with the Ghost Chicks right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
Are you ready for some adventure? Swashbuckling action? Pirates? High seas battles? How about a little history, romance, and haunting Celtic mysticism thrown into the mix? If so, you have got to read The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare, the new book by author-illustrator Scotty Roberts, set in England, Ireland, and Scotland of the 16th century. Irish Lord Tam O'Hare sets out on a quest to find and rescue a little girl from the hands of the very folk of the Dark Shadowlands. On his way, he runs headlong into adventure and intrigue from all quarters in the form of wolves, foxes, and pirating rabbits. Oh, and did I mention Tam O'Hare is, well, a rabbit? This book will not be available in stores until late this fall. But you can get your advanced copy of The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare now by going to www.tamohare.com. That's www.tamohare.com. The Rollicking Adventures of Tam O'Hare. You'll never trust a raccoon with a sword again.
For 58 years, Fate has consistently supplied its loyal readership with a broad array of true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life, and by others just like you who have something dynamic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, archaeological hotspots, alternative science, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness Monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away, little girl. Go away, little girl.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Welcome back to the show. I think we've got some of our phone issues worked out. We've got the ghost chicks on the line with us, Lori and Tara. Are you there, ladies?
We're here.
Tim, what kind of message are you sending these ladies by playing Go Away Little Girl just as you bring them back? You sexist pig. I'm sorry. I got to deal with this all the time, ladies. I apologize.
That's okay. I love Donny Osmond.
So you met at your child's school. You guys just started discussing it and realized that you had a connection with the paranormal. Lori, why don't we start off with you? How old were you when you actually started to develop a real passion for the paranormal or had your first major experience?
I had paranormal experiences when I was a child. One of the first experiences that I had was when I was real young, and I've had explanations of this, but I was actually in my home. My mom and I actually experienced this together, and it was a very odd, but it was on a very still summer night, and this was back when, you know, the doors were made completely of wood and everything, and for whatever reason, I was probably about 6 years old. My mom and I, for some odd reason, but we always sort of knew, you know, each other. We always knew what the other was thinking, of course. And we sort of met at our front door, and we heard this sort of gushing noise, sort of like a breathing noise almost, like you would hear sort of in a hurricane if it was that loud. Okay. I can remember it to this day. And it was almost as if the door was breathing in. And I remember that to be my first paranormal experience, but my mom was there at the time, and she tells the exact same story. So I've had paranormal experiences all my life.
So it's almost like when you've seen in the movies, like when the wall starts to breathe or something, that the
door
is actually...
and it was the door, but the scary thing about this is that this was during the time when you had the big picture windows, you know, like back in the early 70s, and you had the little windowsills.
Right.
And the scary thing was is that my dad got home about 30 minutes later, and I remember that this was back when no one locked their doors, and we both reached and locked the doors, and we went and looked outside, and I remember it clearly. There was no wind. It was a still summer night. We had the porch light on because my father would get home around 10:30 on the nose every night, and there was no one there.
See, I disagree with you. That's not the scary part. The door breathing was the scary part. When daddy's home and it stops, that's not the creepy thing.
Well, here's the creepy thing.
Okay.
My dad comes home, and there is fresh blood spattered on the door. And here's the creepier thing.
Okay.
We had a screen door. There's no blood spattered through the door, through the screen. So if it had been like a bird or like a large bird or some sort of animal, you know, an animal's not going to come up and open a screen door.
I don't know. Did you piss off some mobster raccoon or something and he was letting you know that you owed him some money? Or?
I could have. But that, you know, that really never,
wow.
You know, was it was a very unexplainable. We had people come the next day and we were trying to unexplain. And it was a pretty large amount of blood.
Now, did you ever find out what kind of blood it was? I mean, was it animal blood, human blood?
Well, I mean, you know, this is back in the early 70s. I mean, I should have saved it. We could have had a DNA test.
All right. Tim, turn on the Wayback Machine. We're going to take the ladies back.
Right on.
So, but it was a substantial amount of blood is what you're saying.
It was a good bit of blood. Hmm. It was a good bit of blood. And it was just spattered all over the door. And I really didn't have an explanation until later on, you know, after we received our training from Lloyd, and I talked to him, and he said, you know, there are, you know, many possibilities, and we discussed different things, and, you know, there, you know, time slips, and, you know, people, you know, many, many different things, but there was just really no logical explanation. That was a very scary night.
Well, so you've talked to Lloyd Auerbach, professor paranormal himself on this. What was his take? I mean, did he have an idea aside from could be many things? Did he think it sounded demonic? I mean, that sounds like a demonic kind of deal or definitely a malevolent kind of spirit.
You know, and I really don't know because, you know, I look back and I remember this is funny and it's not. We lived next to this church where they were very, 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 you know, one of these churches where they would literally, I don't even know, I grew up in Alabama, in a very small town in Alabama, and I can remember literally, I can't even tell you everything, but I can remember they would come next door sometimes and ask if they could use our restroom, and my father would say, no, you absolutely cannot, but they would literally scream and yell and pull their hair. It was one of those kinds of churches. I don't know what they were doing, but, you know, I look back and it makes me wonder.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that kind of scary?
Not kind of scary. See, Tim, these Southern women, they're kind of scary is a lot scarier than I want to deal with.
Yeah. My mother had her gun. She was fine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Mama had a gun, Tim.
Mama had her gun.
Everything was okay there.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah, see, that's a little different. That's breathing doors, blood, and crazy churches next to me. I think it might have been time to move. But then again, I'm a wimp when it comes to that stuff. So,
yeah, so, you know, you look back and you do wonder. You know, of course, back then, you didn't really say a whole lot about things like that happening.
Well, now, have you gone, you know, we ask this question of everybody, as I'm sure you've probably been asked before, but have you ever done any research to go back to find out anything about your house, to find out what may have happened there beforehand?
Yeah. No, I've not. I've not gone back there. You know, I had a very, you know, enriched life. You know, my mother, you know, would always, you know, she was, you know, back then even, you know, she would tell us ghost stories. She would, you know, she would let us know which houses were apparently haunted. A lady named, who wrote, and I'm going blank right now, Catherine Tucker Windham, wrote 13 Alabama Ghosts.
Okay.
You know, probably now people would be, you know, well, probably now people would be okay, but, you know, she would come around and talk to the schools and tell us her ghost stories and tell us about her ghost that lived in her home named Jeffrey. You know, so I was very enriched with things like that. You know, it was not, things like that were not taboo in my home, you know. And
so you had some good support in your efforts of trying to learn more about the paranormal.
Now,
Now I know you're into Reiki and things like that. Do you have or possess sensitive or psychic abilities yourself?
I think I'm more empathic.
Okay.
You know, I think Tara's more sensitive as far as that's concerned. I don't know. Everybody, you know, tends to label, you know, themselves now. And, you know, I don't really know. It's neither here, you know, nor there for me personally.
Don't worry, Tara. Tim calls me insensitive, so at least you get the good title.
But, you know, Tara does. Tara tends to really pick up, especially a lot of children. Yeah,
well,
she really
being a
does.
Teacher, that would make sense, right?
Well,
I mean, she seems to draw that kind of light and is set up for that altogether. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tara, how about your first experience? What happened with you?
Well, I didn't have any until the Myrtles, actually. So I never had any experiences growing up or anything until I, you know, put myself into these situations. So I'm just living them now.
Well, what kind of drove you to start looking into doing the Myrtles or doing investigations and learning more about the paranormal? Usually somebody has something that spurs them.
Well, we vowed we would never go back to the Myrtles,
yeah,
actually. It was so intense.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was that
so
intense.
So much happened to us there.
Yeah.
We, you know, I could honestly say that we were scared, you know, we weren't going back anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. No.
And I'd probably say that we were more scared once we got home. And, you know, everybody viewed their pictures, and everybody had different pictures and different things, you know. And then after some time, you know, we decided we would. And we'll be going back this December, so we're really excited to go back there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we had so many different things that happened. I mean, we literally, of course, you know, at this point in time, I hadn't heard of an orb. I didn't know what an orb was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't know what anything was. And we had these ladies with us that both, you know, said that they lived in haunted houses.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us were sort of there thinking, oh, this is great. We're going to get away for the weekend.
Right.
This is wonderful. You know, no kids, no anything.
We were just,
you know, we were just having
weekend.
A great time.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, then things got very serious. And we literally had an orb that you could see outside that was just sort of playing with us, coming back and forth, that you could see with your naked eye and all. And then, you know, Tara was up. She was saying, no, this is, you know, we were seeing things, and she was saying, no, you know, she was debunked. She was out there trying to debunk everything, you know. And
don't you hate those kind of people?
No, absolutely not. Because you know that's you have to be that way.
No, I agree.
Know?
I joke. We do our live events, and
yeah.
Tim and I will go out and you know we'll. I think we were at Waverly, and we came up, and there's 20 people standing around a ball that's rocking back and forth, and everybody's wetting their pants. And I got down, and I'm like, you know, if you block it right here, I can feel a breeze and the ball stopped moving. And everybody just had this dejected look. And I said, I'm sorry, you paid for ghosts. Woo, it's a ghost. Paranormal.
Well,
like,
exactly.
They got up and walked away. But, yeah, you definitely got to work on the debunking thing. So.
Yeah, well, you do. But, you know, we had many things that happened. I'm going to let Tara, you know, tell of that. But one of the things that happened with the orb is that I went with the other lady. And for some reason, this was later on in the night. And I want her to tell the rest of what happened. But later on in the night, she and I decided to get up after a lot of things had happened and go into the other room. And at the same time, we both looked and turned toward the bathroom at the very end. And we had this camcorder, which at the time, we had no idea why the batteries kept draining. But we heard through these ladies that, you know, I don't know, something's happening to the batteries, which now we know. But I still had this camcorder in my hand. And we both looked at one another without saying a word and went to the end of the bathroom. I raised up the shade, and this orb was sitting there just as big as night, I would say, because it was night, and it was like the moon. And it was breathing and pulsating.
Pulsating, mm-hmm.
Well, let's now orb, a lot of people, you know, you watch a TV show, Ghost Hunters, a lot of people are seeing little dust and moisture. Now, what you're seeing is actually more like a giant
Not
ball
to a
of
camera.
Light.
Right.
This is bare-eyed,
bare-eyed,
giant ball of light.
Right, sitting like on the inside of the windowsill.
Okay.
I mean, it's like right there. I mean, this is my very first haunted house.
Well, boy, what a way to start.
Well, it really was. And, you know, as she walks in, you know, still in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, she walks in and she says, I'm going to put my foot up against the door in case anything happens. And still in my mind, after everything that had happened, I thought, why don't you do that?
Yeah, you go ahead and do that.
I can't believe you think, you know, something's going to happen. And thank God she did, because as soon as that happened, evidently it raced through me. So as Lloyd said, I was slimed.
Okay.
It raced through me, and that's the last thing I remember. I went, everything went dark, black. I remember hearing the pop of the camcorder, and it evidently bounced off of her at some point. She grabbed me and pulled me out into the hall. We were running down down the hall toward Tara and the other lady who was in the bed trying to go to sleep. And this was around, what, 3, 4 o'clock, Tara, right?
Yeah.
3, 4 o'clock. So we ran down to the end of their bed, and we both started telling them. I really didn't know what had happened, but we both reached to our temples about the same time, and we had excruciating pain. And then at the exact same time, we had a metallic taste in our mouth.
Now, do you think that this, I mean, this almost sounds more like a classic UFO type activity or alien, you know, connection. Do you lend any credence to that could be a little bit more of something like that?
I don't know, because if you think about it, I mean, that's energy. And you think about someone being, well, and let me tell you what happened after this. After this, I began getting sick, very sick. And one by one, we all got sick, including the other two ladies that hadn't even been in there.
Mm.
Okay, and so I have a seizure disorder. 2 weeks later, I didn't feel right after that. 2 weeks later, I had the worst seizure I've ever had that resulted in a surgery. And it was just like I had probably been, I researched it a lot, and it was sort of like people who had been struck by lightning who still have all that electricity in them.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand how that feels a lot. It was like I couldn't get it out of me.
Hmm.
It's something that's hard to understand unless you've been there. But I don't know. It was almost like, you know, people talk about an orb being that ball of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, I had the metallic taste. Yeah, I mean, you know, who knows?
Wow, that's, yeah, I give you a lot of credit on something like that, because, again, that's where, you know, once I'd have an experience like that, you know, where it's obviously, you know, I mean, I've had experiences, Tim's had experiences, you know, where we've seen or experienced ghost-like activity. Nothing of any source that's scared either one of us into, you know, not wanting to deal with the paranormal. Nothing that's been malevolent or violent or tried to take our sandwich away from us or anything like that. But but if you're seeing pulsating lights and getting major migraines that cause seizures that you have to have surgery on, what in God's green earth would keep you pushing forward to keep messing with this? Don't you feel like you're kind of testing the boundaries of fate here by pissing off whatever's out there?
No, I mean, I've nearly died 3 times. I've kind of seen things.
She says it like she's showing off. I nearly died three times.
I think I'm a cat. No.
I do it a 4th time, but I don't want to show off.
Exactly. Well, now
no.
You're just getting off on it. That's wrong.
I've lost a lot of friends. I've lost a lot of friends along the way and things like that. And I think Tara and I both just, you know, I think a lot of people have their own reasons, you know.
You want answers.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know,
but as moms, because you're both moms, is that right, Tara?
Mm-hmm, right.
Do you ever have a concern that what you're doing is not only just going to affect you, but it's going to affect your children, and it could come back at them? Because I know that since we started the show 2 years ago, and you know, I've been told by a lot of the demonologists and other people, you know, you're bringing answers to people, you're doing some good work here, and you're not, you know, they're not going to be real happy about this. You know, the bad guys out there are not going to like what you're doing, so they're going to start mucking with you and your family. And sure enough, my kids started experiencing paranormal activity. You know, we had end up having some things blessed and taken care of. But, you know, since then, it's really kind of, you know, I stand back and I kind of scratch my head all the time worrying that somehow I'm going to, you know, invite in the wrong thing for my kids.
I know, Tara, I'll let you answer.
Well, on our end, everybody in the paranormal field has different beliefs.
Right.
You know, kind of like there are so many different religions out there,
right.
You know. It's the same thing in the paranormal field, and Lori and I don't get into the demon end of things. You know, we don't really believe that there's all the evil and the bad out there. You know, that's just our belief system. We haven't ever encountered anything evil and bad. You know, for us, everything that we've encountered is very explainable, and we always use what we call protection, you know, like a protection prayer or something so that we don't bring home anything.
Well, could you share that with us real quick, Tara? What's something for people that are just starting to get involved in the paranormal field and have a fear that they could bring something home? What kind of protection prayer do you guys use? Is that something that you're willing to share with us on the air here?
Well, it's there. And once again, there's many of those. It can be as simple as envisioning yourself with white light. I've heard other groups do where they envision themselves like in a space suit, you know, to where nothing can get inside of the space suit. Other groups do like an actual little chant or prayer. There's just all kinds of different things. It's whatever, you know, you believe that will protect you and your group before you enter an investigation.
Oh, sure. So it's more of an intent thing then is what you're saying. If you have the intent and go into it just to protect yourself and know, you know, whether you believe in God, Ronald McDonald, or Allah, you just call upon that to help you and protect you, and that's what you do to go in.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Now, let me just double-check with Tim. How are we set on time? I don't want to start off in it. We're good? All right. With the paranormal field the way it is, I know that you guys, first of all, I want to ask you about working with Lloyd Auerbach and getting certification. Now, so many people are against people collecting money to train you to be a certified paranormal investigator. And I'm not beating up on Lloyd at all here. I just want to understand, too, and see what your guys' thoughts are since you've actually done the training and gone through this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since this is such an unscientific field, if you will, and there's no verification or way to back up anything that actually goes on in this field, there are more and more things popping up to learner courses on ghosts and paranormal activity and, you know, get your certificate. How do you feel that Lloyd is, you know, how do I put this properly?
Why did
is certified, yeah, what makes him the guy that can certify you to know what you're doing?
Right. What we did was, after this, after we sort of got over the initial
shock
of what had happened, and we decided, you know, we wanted more answers, you know, and the thing was is we were sort of in our own little world, you know, we wanted answers. I think everybody sort of was when the paranormal came together and we were in our own little world. We weren't even noticing. We had no idea what was going on in the paranormal world. You know, we were going with another group. We were going on trips and things like this, unorganized trips and all. And we decided to branch off on our own. And when we did, we said, you know, we really need some training because we were going on these different trips. And as I know you'll probably hear yourself, you know, you hear all types of terminology and you hear, you know, we were actually on one of these trips and one of the leaders we asked, you know, we at that time we had no idea, you know, they were throwing around Psi.
All right, sure.
And so we had, you know, we had brought other people along on this trip. And I brought this person along who happened to be a guy who was a pilot. And he was, you know, a very, very smart individual, you know, intelligent individual. And he asked, he came to me and said, Lori, what is Psi? Well, at the time, I didn't know. And I didn't realize that it was, you know, was PSI. You know, I didn't realize.
Right.
And so I came to the leader and I said, what is Psi? And this person said, so-and-so make the rest up.
Oh, nice.
And I thought, what the hell? You know, okay. So, you know, at that point, when we realized we wanted to, you know, go off on our own, do our own things, we wanted training. And we looked into what was out there at that time, and we said, you know, we want a parapsychologist to train us. And, you know, we want the terminology, and we just looked at what was there. And
in a way, it was sort of like, you know, I've always done this, I guess, for, you know, like my son had braces. I didn't go to one of the students. I went to the guy who trained the students.
Oh, gotcha. Sure.
Does that make sense?
Right, right, right.
You know, to straighten his teeth.
Yeah, we did our homework to see. You know, who was the best.
Yeah, I mean, who we felt like our personalities fit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, and he was really great. I ended up, and then it took us a lot longer than we thought because, we had the hurricane here. We had I had staph infection and there's all kind of things that happened, but you know it gave us the foundation that we felt we needed. You know, we didn't want to just start ourselves up, start a group and have no proper terminology, you know, things like that. You know, and then you build on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
fair enough.
Now, you get a foundation.
Would you suggest? After taking a course like that, would you suggest that everybody that's serious about this field would take a course and actually do this instead of just watching Ghost Hunters or Most Haunted and thinking that makes them a ghost hunter?
Definitely.
Okay. Now, when you're doing an event or you're doing a
Can I go back and clarify that?
Oh, sure.
You're talking about taking just any course?
Well, no, I'm asking specifically about Lloyd. You'd recommend doing Lloyd's course. But
definitely, with Lloyd. Okay.
What would you...
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But let's make a point of that. You're saying, what about other courses?
Oh, no. I mean, there's several fine courses out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, that would match, you know, anyone else's. But,
I think... that we've seen that are very... fast and you don't learn enough too. We've also seen that end of the spectrum as well, you know.
But you know, I think what people maybe they don't understand either is that, like, you know, I'm Jason and, you know, we've met Steve, you know, but
right.
and all of them, you know, they have been doing this for how many years, and you know, they have all the proper equipment, and you know, well, you know all about them. I mean, they are truly professional at what they do.
Right.
And it's a little more than, you know, I mean, like you said, it's not a, you know, it's not like a controlled science or anything else like that. Like you go into the lab and, you know, things like that. There is no mathematics to it.
Well, no, you know, this kind of leads me, and Tara, as a teacher, let me ask your thoughts on this. You know, this we mentioned at the end of last hour that we're going to be talking to you guys for this hour and that the paranormal seems to be pretty much a boys' club. You know, most of the major names out there, you know, I mean, you have your Rosemary Ellen Guiley, you have your Lorraine Warren, you know, but for the most part, it's, you know, the Lloyd Auerbachs, Jason and Grants, Chris Fleming, Patrick Burns, you know, I mean, you have most of these big names that people are familiar with, Hans Holzer, Richard Sennett, they're men. Do you think that you're looked down upon or maybe not taken as seriously as women in this field with the research that you do? Or how do you think that we can maybe turn things around so that there's more women that are more prevalent or more prominent in this field?
I wouldn't say that we're looked down upon. I mean, not at all, you know, because we go out there and we do the same thing that the guys do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go out and we get the same evidence just like the guys do. There's no difference, you know.
Well, and you've got, like, you know, Donald LaCroix is a very strong
investigator.
Person.
Mm-hmm.
Person,
you know, investigator. And then, you know, you've got, well, we're looking at, like, Debbie Constantino.
Oh, right.
You know, we're looking at her. And, you know, you have a lot of other strong women. But, you know, I think some things are kind of changing, you know.
They are.
I mean, there are more women, you know, coming out and all. You know, we investigate now a lot with, I don't know if you saw, but we investigate a lot now with Deborah LeBlanc.
Right.
I don't know if you saw, you know, she is, and she's, you know, she's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess it depends upon who you talk to, but I understand what you're saying. I guess it depends upon who you talk to and, you know, how things are. But also, you've got your, is it Ghost Adventures or Ghost Adventurers?
Ghost Adventures.
Ghost Adventures. So
mm-hmm.
you've got that show.
Mm-hmm.
you know, now. So you've got all of them. And, I guess it all depends upon how you, you know, you view things.
Yeah, I can see how it would go in either direction.
Yeah, well, that's, I only ask, like I said, because it seems like women really struggle in this field to make a name for themselves. And there's
right.
just as many women out there that are doing the paranormal investigating and getting the same type of results that the men are doing.
Right.
And I didn't know if you guys had a feel on what you think may cause that or why this seems to be more of a boys' club.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I've ever viewed it as a boys' club.
I haven't either.
And so has Deterra. Yeah, we do what we do, and we go about life, and, you know, that's kind of it. And so I guess we've never even thought about it.
Right. We're just out there with them.
Well, that's good. Right. Well, I know that there's now they're trying to bring out.
We like to be around men mostly, and that doesn't bother us.
And, you know, and on our trips and our investigations, I guess there's just always been other women, too. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
I guess we've just never thought of it.
Most all the trips that we go on, a lot of other women go with us.
Okay. Now,
yeah.
What do you feel is probably the most... I don't know. How do you... I'm trying to formulate these questions properly. What do you feel is probably the most important part of the paranormal field that needs more and deeper research? Is it equipment? Is it sensitivity? Is it, just using your own common sense? I mean, what should be the main focus, or do you guys believe is the main focus for paranormal activity like this and research?
Personally, I feel like a lot of it is, and I think it's being worked on a lot. I think the equipment mm-hmm. paired with the sensitivity, you know
okay.
what I mean?
Sure.
I think equipment is really going to be what, you know, what brings us our proof. You
wow.
know, it's going to have to.
Everybody wants the equipment for the proof, you know.
Right. But now you're more of a sensitive, Tara, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
yeah.
do you ever find yourself falling prey to allowing yourself to fall more onto your sensitivity and disavow other things? I mean, is it kind of a catch-22? You know, I watch people at our investigations, and I watch people on the team that I've been a part of and other teams where they spend so much time focused on the equipment in their hands that they're not watching their surroundings. They're not watching the room. They're not watching for what's going on, and they're giving up that sense, and they're giving up their sense of ESP or sensitivity to the situation, and they're focused mainly on equipment. And then I've watched other people that are sensitive totally disavow equipment. Do you think that there's a dangerous line there, and how do you think that we can blend these two together to make it a better marriage of science and
that's where I'm sorry,
yeah,
I know you asked that question, Satira, but that's where our training with Lloyd came in very important.
And for Lori and I, it kind of goes hand in hand. When we walk into somewhere and she or I feel something, once we start getting that feeling, then we know it's a sure sign to take out our equipment, you know, to start taking pictures, to start getting readings, you know, and temperatures and different things. So for us, you know, when we do have those feelings, then we know, you know, we definitely need to investigate this area, you know.
So when you start getting those feelings, do you then start turning on your machines and your equipment?
Right.
And then how often when you start to get that sensitivity, are you able to actually capture scientific proof, if you will, photographs, video, audio, when you're sensing that? Do you have much correlation with that?
Yeah, a lot of times. We just recently investigated a plantation, a few weeks ago, Lori?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one room. You know, they just let us go all through the house, and they didn't tell us what room was the particular room they had us there for.
Right.
And we both immediately picked up on the room. And not to say that we always pick up,
mm-hmm.
right, not to say we always pick up everywhere we go, but, you know, it was just kind of weird. We both picked up on the same exact room, the same area of the room.
The same little boy, a little boy, a little girl.
Yeah, everything. And then we had our friend Deborah LeBlanc, and she also picked up the same stuff. And, you know, like I said, we got our equipment out, and everything, you know, matched up. So it was a really great investigation.
And the thing was is that we went in separately. And I mean, that was filmed and all, but you know, it was, we went in separately and we were picking up different things. And I mean, this was a huge home, and we went in to different parts of the room, and we all went in separately in different parts of the room, and we all picked up on, all three picked up on the three, the same scenario. We knew nothing about this. I mean, the homeowner, they knew nothing about this. I mean, this was something from way back in the 1800s. So, you know, that, you know, and that's when you, you know, we all three got out our equipment and got every, and we already had it out, you know, but we got it out and started, you know, checking, you know, different things. And, you know, of course, you know, our first thing is to check and make sure, you know, if there's, you know, the pipes and the, you know, things like that, make sure we're not picking up on things like that. And
We're gonna
take our second break here, ladies. Please stay with us.
And
thank you all for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the interview as much as we are. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
We thought El Chupacabra meant the cup of coffee in Spanish.
Me llamo Eduardo Especial. ¿Cómo está el yay?
What you talking about, Willis?
Shows you what we know. Stay tuned. There's more to come from The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd and the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at TapsParamag.com.
Are you tired of reading about what couple in Hollywood is breaking up or divorcing? Have you ever wondered where you can find the news that covers the subjects that you are really interested in? I would like to invite you to visit SupernaturalNews.com. Supernatural News uses the latest internet technology to search for the topics we know you will be interested in reading. News of the latest Bigfoot, UFO, or Loch Ness monster sightings. Read about the latest conspiracy theories and urban legends. Supernatural News, where belief and reality merge.
The smell of voodoo hangs in the air. Either that or Dave and Tim had the seven bean salad for dinner.
Don't nobody go in the bathroom for about 35, 45 minutes. Somebody open the window.
Welcome back to The Darkness, or whatever is hanging in the air, on the edge of town.
You know, Tim, couldn't we class it up a little bit for the ladies tonight? We have mom. Do we have to have fart jokes before every time we talk to them? I feel really awkward now.
I thought about it, but then, you know, I also didn't want it to get to the point where I'm over there doing your nails.
Well, sometimes I like to feel pretty too, Tim.
All right.
Oh, yeah. See, this is brutal. Have you seen these two lovely ladies?
I have, yes.
We're going to put up pictures of ourselves stretched across the pianos as well, guys. So I want you to know, you're not going to be the only sex pots out there in the paranormal world.
I'm even email box.
I'm even squeezing together my little man cleavage to make it look better in the dress.
Yeah. So, can't wait. Yeah. And you'll have to leave up your song for sure when you have that up there.
Oh, you don't like my song?
No, I love it. Come That's on. What I said. You'll have to definitely leave your song up there.
See, how did we survive in the paranormal world without MySpace?
Exactly.
And being able to connect with each other. This is amazing.
I don't know. You know, we can, you know, go into each other's living rooms. It's great.
Let me ask you this. Each, out of all the locations that you've checked, what do you feel is probably the most haunted location that you've ever investigated?
The Myrtles.
Mm-hmm. Myrtles, huh?
That's why we can't wait to get back there.
Well, mm-hmm. But and you guys stuck to your guns, I see, about never going back. Well done.
That just lasted for like a week after we first left.
It's kind of like the drunk breakup call, Tim. I'm never going to go back there again. Hey, baby, I'm thinking of you and I love you. We're coming back to Myrtles. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it when I said I'd never come back.
Exactly.
So you guys are doing, what else besides Myrtles, what would you both rank as probably your next favorite or most active environment?
I think I liked Gettysburg. Yeah, we had a little heated sensation there, so we really loved it.
Yeah, we like to get a spark. There's lots of men.
A heated sensation. Oh,
hey now.
So you guys were getting copped a feel by the Gettysburg ghost?
Yeah.
Wow. See, Tim, I told you, we got to start paranormal adventures for women.
Well, hello, soldier.
Take them to all of these locations.
Right. We had a little soldier climbing between us.
See?
There's no need to leave women out of the paranormal.
That's right.
We'll bring them out. All these single women that would like to get fondled can go out on these paranormal adventures and get hassled by male spirits. It's good to know, isn't it, ladies, isn't it good to know that men are just as big a jerks in the afterlife as they are in this life?
No. He was not. He was wonderful. Now, the single women didn't like him, so they called us in.
Okay. All right.
So the very next night, well, actually...
So if it's not breathing, it's not cheating? Is that what you're telling me?
Okay, no comment.
So in the afterlife, do they actually have a much better fondling technique after years of being dead than they did when they were alive?
Let me tell you, instead of being cold... It was fiery hot.
A Latin lover.
It really was. And, you know, the thing was is that, you know, here we are from the South, you know. We wear flip-flops all year round.
Uh-huh.
It was in April, wasn't it, Tara, that we went on that trip? So here we are up in Gettysburg. We're freezing. You know, we were absolutely freezing. And we'd been out all day. We'd been investigating on the battlefields and everything else. And we were, you know, it had been raining, and we were miserable, honestly. And the night before, the two ladies had been in this room at this B&B on the battlefield that we were staying at. And one of the ladies she's amazing. She can walk that battlefield and tell you exactly what happened on every little single spot of the battlefield. And she's very psychic. And they kept hearing a dog bark. And there are no dogs anywhere in the vicinity. So she kept hearing a dog bark, and they kept hearing other things. But this other lady sat down on the bed, and Tara can't remember exactly what happened, but I remember the one lady saw the soldier sitting next to her, right?
Mm-hmm. And she could see the indention on the bed.
And then they could see the indention on the bed, but she actually could see him. She could see him, and I remember, but they got scared.
Well, that's understandable, sure.
But she sees spirits all the time, but she got scared. It was in her room. So the next day they said, please come and spend the night with us. So we're like, oh, yeah, whatever, okay. So the next night they push the two beds together, and they get a whole team in there, and they're taking pictures, and they're filming. Well, we are just...
Are we talking paranormal porn here, ladies? Let me see. Tim, we have to tell... Lori, Tara, I just want you to know, at the Stanley Hotel, Tim and I are frightened easily. Would you come in our room and bring video cameras, please?
I'll be glad.
And we'll push the beds together. And this is strictly scientific, ladies. I want you to know that.
That's not ectoplasm.
Oh, man.
We were exhausted. And so, you know, we're all dressed and everything, you know, for bed. And it was like two little twin beds, wasn't it, Tara?
Mm-hmm.
And they pushed it together. And so we're just falling all over each other trying to go to sleep. So we're okay. We're spooning.
We'll be right back after this cold shower. What are you doing to me here?
We're trying to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And they're still filming. And all of a sudden, and we're freezing, and all of a sudden I feel this real, real hard pressure on my back. It was hurting, and I just went, ouch, that hurts. And it was so hot, it was burning up. And I didn't realize what was going on, but the same thing was going on with Tara back there. And I remember it felt like a hand came across and held my stomach. And then you could feel the whole thing across my back, and Tara said, I feel it too.
Wow. He can satisfy two women at once.
That's a big go.
I can't even satisfy one woman in life. This guy's taking two on.
There you go.
Just in case Chris Fleming and Patrick Burns are listening, no, Tim and I are not going to spoon with you for a paranormal experience. All right, guys, just back off.
Speak for yourself.
We'll film you while you spoon.
Yeah.
That's right. So they were up.
We've done it once. I don't need to do it again.
But the experience was wonderful because I'm telling you, that was the best night of sleep that I think that I've had. You know?
It was great.
It was wonderful.
The other ladies are up flicking on lights and doing cameras.
They're taking cameras and taking pictures. And they went into the other people's room and slept. They left us there. They wouldn't even sleep in there.
Well, sure, you guys were having a paranormal orgy.
Yes, we were.
A porgy.
Paranormal party. But this guy that they had seen before, they actually had this big meeting. They came back and had a whole lot of psychics come together, and they found out who he was, what his name was. I mean, all about him. Mm-hmm. We didn't care. It was just a one-night stand for us.
But you could literally...
You try not to learn their names? Is that the whole thing? It's better if we don't really know each other's names.
You know, we've been many places since then.
Just call us Sabrina and Wanda for the weekend. What happens in the paranormal stays in the paranormal.
Paranormal, oh, good that's God. Right. But you could literally hear his boots walking in the room.
Mm-hmm.
You could hear him, his boots just walking like around the bed. It was really neat.
If you say so. My goodness. Well, now we know what keeps him interested in the paranormal, Tim.
Well, that's what you're there for, you know.
I'm not there to be fondled by men in bed when I'm sleeping.
Well, you know.
Alive or dead. I'm sorry.
Well, if you are, you just call us and we'll toss you out of your room and we'll switch rooms.
We'll stay there. We'll give you the non-active room and we'll take the active room.
Well, you know what would be interesting, though, is... And I know this is going to sound really horrible, what I'm about to say, but I'm being very sincere here, is I would like to go back with you two to the place where you were having this experience, see if we can call out that ghost and have a thermal camera on, pointed at the bed to see if you can actually see the impression or where you guys are heating up. Oh, I knew that was going to come out wrong.
I don't need to go back to do that.
Oh, good God. But seriously, to see if you can see the spot on your back warming up again or what could be handprints. Oh, good God.
Yeah, right.
Hey, welcome to College Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Today we're talking about naughty stuff in the paranormal.
But seriously, have you heard my show yet?
I'd be interested in finding out if that's, you know.
He didn't hear this.
Yeah, I heard you. I'm just trying to keep my focus so I don't... going to be a long drive home already. So, no, but seriously, if I'd love to see that and see if there's any kind of heat presence at that location again. And since, because
right.
we found that a lot of people that will return to a place where they had a haunting like that,
mm-hmm.
they will, the ghosts remember them and
mm-hmm.
will make contact again. So that would be, you know, I don't know if you guys would ever be up for that, but I'd love to do that and maybe even televise it, but put it on the web stream so people could see the video and see if there's anything happening.
It'd be the first paranormal porn film with the thermal cam.
Yes, exactly. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, that would be really cool.
All right. Well, why don't we look into doing that? Because we're trying to look up, Tim and I are looking into doing some of these places that are well-known, crazy active, and doing them as a webcast to see if there's anything that'll happen while we're there.
Okay.
So that might be an interesting one to check out. But Tim's signaling me from across the board. We have about 3 minutes left on the show. Let's let's talk again real quick. Lori, now your radio show can be heard on Blog Talk Radio Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern time, correct?
That's right.
And how can people go there? It's just blogtalk.com?
Blogtalk.com/ Peace, Love, and Lip Gloss Hour. And it's just a fun show. We just have a lot of different people on. Tonight we're having Rocker Bitch.
Excellent. Excellent.
She's
well, I wouldn't expect anything less from you guys.
No.
So that show's on Wednesdays. And then what else is going on for the Ghost Chicks that we can help you promote right now?
Actually, right now, we have some trips planned. But, you know, we're kind of doing some things, you know, on our own and, you know, doing just some different things. We're going...
Our buddy Todd Sheets with Night Watchers, right?
Yeah,
we're going December to the Myrtles with a whole group of people.
Great.
And then in January, we're going with Night Watchers to the St. Augustine Lighthouse. So
are there tickets still available? Can people still join you guys?
Well, we're just going with the Night Watchers. We're going with their group in January. And then December for the Myrtles, I think the whole house is totally booked up.
Yeah,
already.
We've had that booked for a while. And then we're going the next night. We're going just to have a lot of fun in Baton Rouge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to go out and try to peruse some ghost men dates for the night or what?
That's not a paranormal
night.
That's not
Michael. Paranormal.
Oh, okay.
Just a Myrtle's night.
Yeah.
Good deal.
That's at a casino.
Ah, very good. Well, guys, it was a lot of fun having you on the show with us.
Yeah, and, thank you very much.
Love to have you back on. And how can people reach you if they're looking to get in touch with the ghost chicks? If they're being fondled and they need your help, where can they go?
For me, Terry, you can go to myspace.com, NicoleChick74.
Okay.
And mine is, I'll just give my regular, just myspace.com, and it's just Lori, L-O-R-R-I-E.
All right, well, what I'll do, too, is we're going to put up your picture, and we'll put up links to both of your independent sites there at MySpace so people can reach you. And again, ladies, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
And remember to listen to the show every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. at Blog Talk Radio. And check them out at the Night Watch events. And you probably go to Night Watchers and or nightwatchshow.com and find out more about that. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, my co-host and producer, Mr. Tim Dennis. We'll be back again next week with you. We're going to be having the entire cast of the brand new paranormal show, Paranormal State, is going to be joining us, including Ryan, Sergi, and the girls, and I believe we're going to even have Chip Coffee on with us. We're also going to be talking to Bill Murphy. He is going to tell us about some interesting new changes that are being done with the Frank's Box. People have heard about it. We're going to learn a little bit about Frank's Box, talk about it. There's new versions that are out there in the marketplace going for up to $400. We're going to tell you how you can make one for $25 that, from reports, are even more clear than the original Frank's Box. So tune in to next week's show. We look forward to having you there. And remember, Thursday this week, check out our website at darknessevents.com and see if you can get yourself tickets to the secret Queen Mary Bash. It's going to be taking place February 24th through the 27th. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll be back again with you next week.